Good morning, Doc.
Yes, good day, Graham, and good to be here again. We're moving along, of course, and you know, no sign of the market slowing down. We've got a lot of new data today. We're going to look at the mid-month house price report, so give you an early indication of what's happening so far over May, and both for houses and units. And as another first off for our podcast, we're going to look at what's happening in the regional markets as well.
Well, they heard it here first, Doc, because mostly we don't cover the regionals unless there's some clickbait attached to it. No one really covers the regionals.
Yeah, well, there's still plenty of clickbait around, isn't there, Graham? And it's interesting that we've moved from the doom and gloom to the boom and boom. So, you know, it's some of those self-professed experts, particularly in the, you know, that come out of the portals, you know, the listing portals. They're flip-flopping around like nobody's business, and they've gone from predictions of catastrophic falls to predictions of unbelievable booms. But it's all about clickbait and attracting attention. But again, it'll likely be just as wrong as the predictions of doom and gloom. I'm getting them all mixed up. But yeah, there's no doubt that our markets are reviving, Graham. And as I mentioned, we are going to see look at today the latest data, which is the mid-May data. No sign of slowing down, not just for houses, capital city houses, the major capitals and units, but also our regional markets, just to see how they're performing. We'll also look today, Graham, at the latest house cost data. We know there are issues to do with high building costs, which are adding another constraint to our housing markets, because even though we are clearly undersupplied, the prospect of even when we do get an approval coming through, a building approval for a home, high building costs are meaning that a lot of builders are going to have to wait because of the financial issues that they're confronting with high house building costs particularly. So we'll have a look at that data as well. And the big news, well, it's not big news anymore, is another strong weekend for our auction markets. You know, it's quite remarkable how those auction markets have lifted really over the last month. And we're now, you know, really approaching the B word. We spoke about it last week, the boom.
I called it last week, Doc. I said, I think there's a boom coming once we're through.
Well, you're getting closer. The results are starting to validate that. But as we'll see, there's a remarkable consistency now amongst our capital city auction market. So it's not just one or two, you know, outperforming the rest. There's a remarkable consistency now about auction clearance rates, which have certainly lifted and are now pushing up towards 80%. And those markets that were underperforming are now picking up and matching the top performers. So, you know, it's all good news for homeowners going forward, Graham. You know, we've got lots to talk about.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the data because I'm sick of seeing, well, we won't name names, but I just read some interesting articles. We're having a chuckle offline about regional areas that are going to grow 105% and 82% and 73% from the same organisation that said the market was going to shit the bed maybe 2 months ago, a month ago. I don't know if they actually look at any data or if they just sort of throw out an opinion on the day for hearsay's sake.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of, you know, fine print to these, you know, really silly stories. And when you look at the fine print, it's all speculative. Yeah, well, maybe, and this is to happen and this has to happen. But it's all about getting the click. And then you read the full story and the full story says, well, you know, we're not saying it's actually going to happen. We're saying it might happen. So that's the get out of jail card. That's the big disclaimer. But the whole purpose to this is really not credibility if you're in the market reflecting, you know, making a decision. It's just about getting you to click. And we know that if you had have made buying and selling decisions based on the silly headlines that we have had from the usual suspects, then you'd be a loser, wouldn't you, Graham? Because
I find big financial loser, absolutely.
Yeah. So don't make decisions based on clickbait headlines. That's the whole point here. And that's what we try to present is rational data and rational insights, historical evidence, as well as current evidence. And that's why we tend to get it right most of the time, Graham. And that's what we're here to do, is to support the decision-making of buyers and sellers, not to generate clickbait in the media, you know, or soap powder or cars, whatever it is.
Better to be right than it is to be famous.
Yes. Yeah, but I mean, at the end of the day, they don't care. But our role here is to provide credible information and insights into the market. And as I said, I think we do a pretty good job, and our record is maybe second to none, Graham, in terms of our outlooks. And you know, those that predict 5 years in the future, it's just really cloud cuckoo land stuff, because you know it's very tough just to predict 1 year, and all we have to do is look back over the last decade to all those events that have come out of left field that you could never predict. You know, the GFC, lower interest rates not working, higher interest rates not working, the COVID pandemic. I mean, you know, what else is going to happen that we can't predict? Well, perhaps many things. So to be looking that far into the future, you know, is just, as I said, it's just clickbait.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's give it some rationale, shall we, Doc? Let's rip in and let's give people some data-driven analysis.
Yeah, well, that's what we do, Graham. We've got lots of data every week, and that's the point of our insights, is that it continues to refresh, and there's a broad spectrum of information that we do provide that sort of puts together the big picture in terms of what's happening in the market. And that's what we need to do, is to have lots of correlating evidence to support our insights into the market. So my housing market does that. We had our building approval data released last week, Graham, and we discussed that last week. And, of course, again, the big trend is that even though we saw a pickup in unit approvals over March, it did come from a low base the previous month. And the long-term trends are still declining sharply in terms of new building for both houses and units. And this is a conundrum, of course, for our housing markets, because we just don't have enough properties coming into the market, new properties, to support all the new demand. Next week, we're going to look at the latest overseas arrivals data, and you'll see just how that has been surging, and I'm sure that will continue. And, of course, that maintains all that pressure on rents and prices, because we're just not building enough houses. But one of the other insights that we can get from that building approval data is because that delivers the My Housing Market House Building Cost Index. And of course, that's important for two reasons, Graham, to see what house building costs are doing. Firstly, of course, it's about constraining new supply, because skyrocketing house building costs, as I mentioned, put pressure on builders to be able to, you know, get those building approvals out of the ground, you know, in a profitable environment. We've already seen a number of instances where builders are struggling. Some builders have left the building, you know what I mean? Because they can't make profits, so they got to sort of move on. So that's important, not only constraining supply, but or adding to the constraints on supply, but also, of course, high building costs or house building costs are a significant part of what drives inflation. It makes up a significant proportion of the housing or of the inflation basket of goods, and that has been something that's been pushing up, obviously, the Australian inflation rate. So we need to watch those increases, because that will mean it will work its way into higher inflation, and of course that typically means higher interest rates. So two factors there that are important to understand when we do look at what's happening with house building costs. Now,
That's an interesting one, Doc, because I'm building a couple of properties at the moment, and one of the valuations I got was like $70,000 under what I'm building a duplex for. It's well over $1 million. It's a duplex per strata title. and I ordered three appraisals. One of them was $70,000 under. And I rang the valuer and said, mate, how are you getting, oh, I'm using the comparable sales methodology and there's nothing on the market that's comparable. And I said, but are you telling me a builder should build at 70? Oh, no, I'm not saying that it could even be built for that, because the insurance estimate was well above the building cost. And so I've got to insure it for 200 grand more than it costs to build it if you got it rebuilt as an insurer. Yeah. But you're saying it's worth less because it's worth the same as a 20-year-old home. We're in a weird space at the moment. Like, we're in a really weird space as far as construction, economy, rate, employment. Like, we're in uncharted territory.
Well, uncertainty is the word, I guess, Graham. As you said, uncharted. We really don't know what the future's going to bring or unfold. We've got a bit more certainty going forward, perhaps, but in terms of, you know, the end of COVID and inflation now starting to ease. But that the latest house building costs were a positive because they actually eased over March, according to our model, which uses ABS data. But unfortunately, they remain significantly higher compared to the same period last year. So we can see that easing in the actual index. So it did fall away over March compared to February. So that's some good news. But you can see how that's just gone through the roof. It's unbelievable. Typically, building costs are quite flat over the, you know, pre-COVID. And that's what allows builders, you know, it's a highly competitive industry, house building. And the fact that building costs remain reasonably flat, certainly only rise incrementally over time, means that builders can afford to offer fixed-term contracts, Graham, with some certainty. Yeah. But now that's just, you can't do it because, you know, it's gone through the roof with all that extra demand created through the previous government's home builder policy. So, look, the first sign there of some easing over the month. So that's the fall over the March quarter compared to the February quarter. But when we look at the annual growth, it also eased marginally over March. But the actual annual quarterly growth remains at remarkable levels. And as I mentioned, they're putting pressure on home builder profitability. So you can see this is the annual growth rate, Graham, and it's still tracking at just under or around 16% over the past year. Now, it's well below the growth that we had a year ago, but it's still very high. And this is the point. It'll still work its way into inflation, even though it is falling, but it hasn't fallen anywhere near as quickly as, I guess, a lot anticipated, particularly given that we're not seeing a lot of new building coming into the market, which would have, you know, the lack of building coming into the market isn't creating more competition amongst the building industry, which you would have expected to put downward pressure on costs. We're still seeing high costs, high house building costs, despite fewer homes being approved. So eventually it'll work its way into the system, but this is going to be a longer term journey, I think, for house building costs. So it means continued constraint on new dwellings, which we desperately need, and also, you know, still putting upward pressure on inflation. So let's look at what's happening with house prices, Graham.
Surely they're going down.
Well, this is the mid-month. So it's it's the May quarter up until the middle of May, up until actually yesterday. So it is the latest data. So it's taking a three-month snapshot from March, April, May. So it's the 3 months, March, April, May, and we roll it forward 1 month at a time. So we're going to have a look at the May quarter so far. Obviously, we haven't got all the data in, but there's enough data in there, as we know when we've done this traditionally, to give us a pretty fair indication of what we're going to see when we get the final data through in a couple of weeks' time, Graham. So it's a good forward indicator. And what it does is it compares prices with the April quarter data. So it's quite a robust measure. It's not just month on month. It's quarters, but they're moving forward month to month. So we have a lot more observations And when we compare this with other measures that are month to month, we see it's almost the same, but it's, in my opinion, a little bit more reliable, and certainly is looking at a lot more data to model. So the May mid-month home prices, no slowing down, Graham. May is looking like what will be the fourth consecutive quarter of national house price growth. So none of this, oh, it was a once-off, it was going to be a dead cat bounce, you know, don't worry about this. This will just, you know, reverse quickly and start falling again. Four consecutive quarters, monthly quarters of house price now, Graham, nationally. So, you know, as I said, this is mid-month. I doubt if we'll not see another, when we get the final data through in 2 weeks' time, that it won't reinforce the fact that we're going to have another increase over the May quarter in median house prices. So this is the national result. And when we look at the breakdowns there, all capital cities have reported again increased to the mid-month estimates, increased prices over the May quarter compared to the previous April quarter. Brisbane flat, but still, when we look at the longer decimal points, it's up marginally compared to the previous month. When we look at the this year so far, Sydney's the strongest performer there, Graham, up by 4.3% so far this year, the Sydney market, Graham. I think Sydney's going to pick up. It's still 5.4% down compared to the May quarter last year. I think it's well and truly on track to pick up to record prices again, similarly in Melbourne and Brisbane as well. So I think we'll be back to record high prices at the latest by the end of the year in our capital city markets. So in other words, we would have picked up all that we lost last year. And that'll mean when we look at the 2 year prices growth, we'll start to see even higher results over the 2 year period, which as we can see there, Brisbane and Adelaide continue to lead the 2 year results. Brisbane up by 25% and Adelaide up by 24.4% over the past 2 years. So I guess more, that's a pretty fair result if you're a homeowner. You know, with that sort of growth over 2 years, notwithstanding the easing that we had last year. But that easing is now well and truly behind us. And as I mentioned, Sydney 4.3% this year so far, Graham, which is, you know, 5 months, 4.3% is starting to, maybe we could even talk about it, you know, on this trend, maybe a 10% increase in Sydney. We were predicting 6% mid-range. So, you know, it's looking at this stage to be quite a strong year for our housing markets. And
it's not out of reach on its current trajectory.
No, it's not. Perth, again, it's the second strongest result this year so far, up by 2.9%. And all markets are higher this year so far. Even the markets that have had that really strong growth, Adelaide and Brisbane, are growing again. And I think there's plenty of upside now as those markets are turning after what was a typical correction environment following that very strong results that they got through 2021 and into 2022. So house prices, no sign of slowing down. Similar result with unit prices. In fact, unit prices have increased more strongly than house prices over the May quarter, Graham. Again, they've now recorded four consecutive quarters of months of quarterly price growth, similar to houses. And as we've been seeing, units tend to be outperforming houses at the moment, Graham, and maybe that's all about affordability, pushing, you know, those more so into units as an option. But also I think there's more lifestyle choices happening in preference to units as well. And units tend to also have that sort of locational advantage, being typically closer to more established infrastructure. And we can see the results there. Brisbane down over the month, 0.9% in terms of unit prices. Perth and Adelaide, Graham, have smaller unit markets, so they tend to be a little bit volatile. But Sydney and Melbourne up again. Melbourne up 1.4%. And Melbourne unit prices are up 2.6% so far this year, Graham, which I think is a very positive result. And once again, the prices are still below where they were a year ago. And I think this will increasingly drive buyers into the market now because they'll realize these value opportunities that are there because prices are still below where they were a year ago, and yet they are rising now. So your advantage compared to purchasing now to a year ago is diminishing. In other words, the difference is now closing between, you know, what prices are now and what they were a year ago. And I think that will increasingly motivate the fear of missing out energy, which is always a key factor in our housing markets when prices do start to rise after an easing. And I think that will increasingly, particularly in the Melbourne market, Graham, which has been an underperformer. And I think there's still some pent-up demand to be released in Melbourne as a result of their severe lockdowns. And I think we're seeing signs of that now coming through. But confidence is certainly returning to our housing markets, Graham. And as I said, the fear of missing out energy, I think, will increasingly drive buyers into the market, you know, because prices are still below where they were a year ago. So there's clearly value opportunities still in the market. But at these rates of growth, it's not going to last for long, those value opportunities.
If you were trying to time the market, you better get in and spend some time in the market while it's on the up and up.
Well, that's right. And this does motivate buyers. And this time of the year is always a positive, you know, notwithstanding what's happening with the cycle, it is always a positive period for housing markets, Graham, because April is typically a holiday month. There's a lot of distractions, Easter, Anzac Day. So it is a distracted month. But what we tend to do is the distractions create some pent-up demand through April, and then that's released through the back end of the autumn selling season, which of course is May and into June. And I think we're seeing that now, and we'll see that with our auction clearance rates to end the show. So I mentioned we're going to have the regional market update. There it is. Not a lot of change, of course, from our last month's update. But again, it's the some of those markets closer in, and this is the New South Wales top regions. Again, when we look at the longer term journey, Port Macquarie, top performer there, up by 18, or one of the top performers there, with Dubbo and Maitland also is now recording some stronger growth. And of course, Maitland is adjacent to Newcastle, a very popular area, which has grown, you know, through that Hunter Valley type of energy. Strongly over recent years, but it's certainly recorded strong price growth over the last 2 years with Port Macquarie. Of course, you know, a lot of that, Graham, to some degree, was pushed through with the exodus out of COVID, generating activity. A Dubbo, more affordable market, of course, compared to Port Macquarie and Maitland. It's also recorded some strong growth. And Wagga Wagga, you know, remarkable growth over the past 2 years. Again, I think there's a little bit of that COVID exodus that's driven the Wagga market. So no real changes there, and the trends are quite clear.
In terms of the just because we've got a run here, I want to give the Gong a shout-out, having grown up in the Gong. It's interesting, the Gong there, Doc's done pretty well, but looking at quarter, year, 2 year, very much a subset of Sydney now, right? A lot of people commute from Wollongong, as do they do from Central Coast and up towards New York. So it's interesting to see that as Sydney alters, so do those affordable areas, those fringe areas. And it's a bit like the Melbourne coming out of Melbourne down July. It's interesting that ripple effect or the bridesmaid effect, so to speak.
Yeah, and we could almost start thinking about not including Wollongong as a regional market.
Yeah.
I think it's a suburban market. As you said, it probably takes you longer to get to the Central Coast than it does to get to Wollongong.
Yeah.
You know, and I think there's increasing interest in Wollongong as a suburban destination for Sydneyite. It's a very good commute into Sydney. You know, a lot of activity in the southern suburbs there, which generates jobs. You know, it's not that far from the airport, really, either.
Yeah.
So I think maybe we could discount Wollongong as a regional market, to be quite honest. But And I do think it'll pick up on the coattails of what happens in Sydney as well. But I think, yeah, it's Wollongong is now basically the next, you know, the outer, the outlier in terms of the southern suburbs of Sydney.
Well, it's just and, Sydney, the national park, and then the Gong.
That's right. Yeah, and I, as I said, maybe we could even start thinking about not having it as a regional market. But, well, look, we do include that as a regional market, so there it is. But I do think its upside is clearly there on the back of what's happening in Sydney. So that's New South Wales. Victoria, we saw a pickup in Bendigo over the month, Graham. Of course, Bendigo and Ballarat tend to track each other. Similar results over the past year and 2 years in Ballarat and Bendigo. And, of course, they have a similar median price. But Bendigo has just pushed ahead over the past 2 years compared to Ballarat. La Trobe, of course, which is to the east of Melbourne, is a significantly more affordable market. But it's increased by 20%. I think a lot of that is lockdown energy as well that's pushed up the more affordable markets. And La Trobe to the east offers that alternative to what are the northern and western markets. Shepparton, similar results, strong results in Shepparton. Again, you know, significantly more affordable. And we're looking at the two-year comparisons. And the Surf Coast, of course, which is a bit like Wollongong, Graham. It's a bit of a you know, a quasi-region rather. It's more perhaps a suburb of a southern suburb of Melbourne rather than a western suburb of Melbourne rather than a region. But it's a very tightly held area, the Surf Coast, of course, and it has those higher prices and has gained again some significant growth over the past 2 years. So that's our Victorian regions. Queensland, strong results in Queensland. You know, those predictions of strengthening Queensland activity over the next few years in the regions, they're already coming from some very strong growth, Graham, and starting to pick up again. We can see those regions are now on the rise over the quarter, most of them. Noosa's had a big jump back after an easing over the second half of last year. Noosa's back in town, a very big result there. Over the May quarter compared so far compared to the April quarter, up by 9.1%, and of course Noosa's up 41.2% over the past 2 years. Toowoomba also up strongly 30%. So some signs there that those Queensland regional markets are starting to pick up again, Graham. But it is typically the ones that are closer to Brisbane that are performing the best, and some of the smaller, well, the two smaller state regional markets here. Tasmania has Launceston up the or Launceston up the strongest over the past 2 years, up by 18%. A similar result to Clarence, of course, which is adjacent to Hobart. And Palmerston continues to outperform Darwin in terms of the regional activity in the Northern Territory, Graeme. So that's our regional update. For those that are interested in what's happening in the regions, they can use that as a data resource to if you are thinking about or are in the regions and looking at what's happening there. This is the latest data. Like I said, it's robust data results. It's not just 1 month, which can be highly volatile. It's 3 months of data, but it moves from month to month. So mid-month, and we'll see next month, just how that's tracking again. So, of course, we're going to finish off, Graham, with our auction market report for the weekend. You know, this just gets, I don't know, well, you know, again, the reported another strong weekend of results. And the remarkable thing, Graham, about last weekend's results was that all the clearance rates, all our capital auction capitals reported clearance rates above 70%, every one of them. So it's not just, hey, Sydney strong, hey, Melbourne strong, hey, Adelaide. We've had Canberra, Brisbane, all now recording plus 70% clearance rates. And we're seeing a consolidation. It's not just like a 1 month or, sorry, 1 weekend. We're seeing this consistency rise now and pushing towards those near boom time results of 80%. And it's across the board at the moment. So And as I said, we've still got plenty of energy left in the market. It's May. There are no distractions. Remember last year we had an election, which interrupted the higher interest rate environment. This year it's all clear air, Graham, all the way through to the winter selling season. And I think that fear of missing out energy will continue to push our markets up. So let's have a look at the results. Well, we know that auction clearance rates and house prices track each other. We always show this slide just to say why we do look at auction clearance rates, because they are a significant and reliable forward indicator of house prices in both Melbourne and Sydney. So these are last weekend's results, Graham. Look at that. Everybody 70% plus. And hey, we're not talking just 70% here, Graham. They're actually all above 75%.
They're closer to 80.
Yeah, I know that. And now a little bit below week before in Sydney and Melbourne, but gee, not much below, Graham. You know, 78.5 in Sydney compared to 79.8.
Strong volume of stock on market.
Yeah, so I guess we're just going to wait to see that if we do get that 80%. But we're knocking on the door, Graham, Sydney and Melbourne. And even Brisbane has picked up recently. And I think this is what we're seeing, that the Brisbane market is just starting to find its feet again after that easing last year, which was eminently predictable because it was unsustainable, the prices growth in Brisbane, Graham, because it was being fueled by so much migration coming in from other states, from the southern states. So I think it's now had its pause and starting to rise again, the Brisbane market, and those clearance rates certainly reflect that. Auction numbers a little bit higher in Sydney, a little bit lower in Melbourne, but basically the same. Adelaide auction numbers were well down compared to last weekend, or the weekend before, where it had its 90% clearance rate. And Canberra, also another strong result. Canberra's been tracking in the high 50s, Graham, but over the last few weekends, it's certainly picked up. And I think that's all part of that Sydney energy, which we speak about, that Canberra tends to follow up on. And I think that'll continue to drive that Canberra market. So when we look at the monthly results, look at this. Every capital city is now tracking higher than where it was a year ago. Sydney's 10% higher, Graham, than where it was a year ago. And of course, we know that confidence affected the market a year ago because we had those first interest rate increases in 10 years or over 10 years then. And of course, we'd come off a very, very strong period of growth. So the market,
we might have to go back, Doc, to the COVID era when we started doing this a couple of years back, where we say this won't be as deep or as steep. The show goes on. Australians are more resilient. We were very practical in our approach and interpretation of the data, I believe. And we were pretty bloody right. I think we might have to clip some of our old segments into the current.
Yes, well, we don't want to be too, you know, in your face, Graham. but, you know, as I said, this is all about what we try to do here is to provide, reliable, credible insights into the market for those that are buyers and sellers to be able to make positive decisions based on evidence, based on credible data, and not the hysterical nonsense that we typically see.
And it does promoted. Feel nice. It is nice. Look, it's nice when people send a message on social, go, hey, I've been following you guys for a while. We're putting it out there for free to the community, and they're able to make logical, rational financial decisions based off data, not off fear mongering. So, it feels good to be right. Sorry, that too.
but it is a service that we focus on, Graham. Yeah. You particularly focus on is about building financial substance. Yeah. And obviously, property is a significant part of that journey. And you need to be able to make your decisions based on logical, rational, non-hysterical. Measures and commentary. Mm. And that's what we try to give. And like when we look at that result now, that this is the May clearance rate so far. So it's covering two weekends. Look at that, 79.1% in Sydney compared to 65.8.
13% higher.
Yeah. But we can see there as those auction clearance rates started to rise through spring, we were saying markets are improving. Prices were still falling, but prices weren't falling as sharply, and auction clearance rates were rising. And guess what? it was the trend that was emerging that has continued. And it's all about strong economy. It's all about migration. It's all about underbuilding, right? And once the clickbait nonsense worked its way through the system, and in fact, it wasn't as effective, the clickbait on market downturn, as it was in 2018. Because I think consumers out there are ignoring the media to a large degree, or certainly a higher proportion are ignoring the media. You know, and this is the trap. If you cry wolf for so long, people just ignore you. And as I said, Sydney's now well above a year ago. So is Melbourne, 10% above a year ago. Brisbane's also above where it was a year ago and back to those very strong results it got through 2021. Adelaide, of course, continues to produce these very strong results. It really hasn't backtracked other than May last year. It still maintained that 80% energy, more or less. And the Canberra is now picked up quite strongly over the last 2 months, as you can see there, Graham, and is now also higher than where it was a year ago. The Canberra market just had an easing over the second part of last year. There were some issues, I think, in regard to new policies introduced by the government in terms of property taxes, et cetera. I think that had some impact on the market, perhaps, but the Canberra market is now clearly picking up again, and I think that's primed to follow the Sydney market upwards over the remainder of the year. So you can get those auction clearance rates every Saturday night. We send out the capital city snapshot, and then Sunday mornings we have the regional breakdown. So another big week. It'd be interesting to see, Graham. Will we get an 80% clearance rate next week? We're so close, it doesn't matter. But irrespective of reaching that 80% mark, auction clearance rates are telling us this is now clearly a seller's market. There are more buyers than sellers out there, and that's what's pushing prices up. So it's definitely a seller's market, which will mean higher prices coming through. And we still have 6 weeks left of the autumn selling season, so it'll be interesting to see how that pans out. And you know, the other point is we had an an interest rate increase 2 weeks ago, Graham. That's exactly right. Did we? That's good. Okay. So and that's the whole point. It's like interest rate increase. You know, yawn. Right.
Yeah, well, some families are hurting, but we're really just now, Doc, starting to net out with the buffer when they applied for the loan a few years ago. People were either paying more before that, or in record lows, they're assessed at about where we're at now. So it's a net effect, not this cliff nonsense, right? You've stopped hearing about the cliff now. Half of the clients have come off fixed, and they're already assessed at about 6% many years ago. So now the nonsense is over. The headlines have dissipated, and we get on with it. Yes, there are families doing it very tough. I get that. But the majority of consumers, it is, interest rate rise, yawn. And people are going, shit, I better get in now because I won't have capacity if I have a couple more rate rises.
That's right. And it's about the economy, stupid, if you know what I mean. It's the strong economy. That's what's driving this low unemployment, you know, and higher wages. And we're going to see the latest data next week, big show next week, Graham. But as you mentioned, the cliff predictions, another disaster, just like the debt bomb predictions, another disaster, you know, but it's all moved on and, you know, it's just laughable, you know, but unfortunately, you know, it's only a negative if you take a notice of it and you make a decision based on that sort of rubbish. So next week, Graham, we've got a very big show in terms of the economy. We're going to have the April unemployment number out for next week. It comes out at the end of this week. So we'll see if rates are affecting our labour market, which is still probably the strongest in our history. We're also going to get the wage index out this week, Graham, which is interesting. Now, it's quarterly stuff. So it's the March quarter wage index, which obviously is backward looking, but it will tell us how quickly wages are rising. And that, of course, is an offset to those higher interest rates is how wages are rising. Now, currently, wages growth is tracking at around about 3.3%, and that was over the December quarter, the annual growth rate. So it'll be interesting to see if we start moving closer to 4%. which we may do, but we'll get that data out as well. We are going to get the overseas arrivals and departure data, which we're going to look at from now on, Graham, because that'll tell us on a monthly basis people that are coming in on permanent visas and student visas. And having a look at some of the data recently, Graham, we're actually not, even though we're seeing a surge in overseas arrivals, both permanents and students, we're still not back up to our peak levels of a couple of years ago. So there's still some upside there. And, of course, that's not good news if you're a tenant, because particularly for students, it'll mean a lot of demand in our rental markets. But, again, also rising demand in our home buying markets. Yeah. And, of course, we'll see the latest, we'll review the latest weekend auction results, and we can hardly wait for that one, Graham.
Might be
We'll see. But as I said, I don't think we're looking. I mean, that's just going to be extraordinary, really. But if we do get that, well, you know, seriously. But the numbers we're getting now are you know, seriously strong, and clearly it's why house prices are rising, Graham, is because those auction clearance rates once again are validating the underlying strength of our housing market. So another big show today. And we'll have another big show next week. All the first with the latest, Graham. First
and
with
the latest. Regionals. No one else has done it. So you've got all the regionals there from Doc Guys. So but tune in next week, because I've got a feeling we might be cracking 80s everywhere. So we'll watch this space.
And I'll tell you, next week we can also discuss the RBA minutes from the May meeting. So that'll be interesting just to have a quick look at what they've said there, because been a lot of backtracking from the RBA, particularly in terms of their predictions for the housing market. So we'll see if they're just going to ignore that and move on, or whether they'll make some statement in regard to now we're seeing a generalised rising of house prices. So we look forward to that, Graham. So you have a good weekend, mate. And
you too, mate. Don't you work too hard.
No. Oh, I love working too hard. It's all good.
I'll see you at the masterclass anyway.
That's where we've got Masterclass. So that's going to be a big, big show. So we'll have that article already there for Masterclass. So we'll see you then.
Thanks, Doc.
Thanks, Graham.